Take your Bible, please, and open it to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, chapter 3. And I want to start reading in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Everybody say the truth.
Truth.
Say that three times. The truth, the truth, the truth. And he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you so that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Of faith. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now, I want you to notice what he said here. He says, you foolish Galatians, he said, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? And then he says that I want to learn one thing of you. How did you receive the Spirit? Did you receive it by the works of the law? Did you do something to get it? Or did you receive it by the hearing of faith? Now, evidently, hearing faith is hearing the truth. But turn with me, if you would, over to the epistles of Timothy, where Paul was writing to his son in the faith and also a minister of the gospel. And he makes some powerful statements here in the epistles of Timothy, and particularly in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to show you something here. We're going to pick up with verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from what? Now, isn't this interesting? Now notice what it says here. Some shall depart from the faith. Say faith.
Faith.
Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Evidently, devil's doctrines don't teach faith. Evidently, anything that takes you away from the word of faith is a seducing spirit. All right, now, hold your finger there, and we're going to come right back now to 1 Timothy 4, and go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, seeing also that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Everybody say the sin. The sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of what? So that clearly this is a faith race. You hearing me? Clearly this is a faith race. And the thing we are to do is... There are many things, and he says, lay aside the weights and the sins which do so easily beset us. Well, now, what's he talking about? Lay aside from your life anything that weighs down your walking and living by faith. Let me show you something here. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, and I want to look at verse 22. Now, we're talking about the Word of God. He says in verse 20, My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart and tie them about your neck. Now, we're obviously talking about the Word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Notice what it says it'll do for us. When you go, it will lead you. When you sleep, it will keep you. And when you wake up, it'll talk with you. Look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor, did you know the Bible is a living document? Did you know the Bible will lead you? Did you know the Bible will keep you? Did you know the Bible will talk with you? See, most people somehow, if they've been serving God for any length of time at all, many Christians never arrive at the place that they call it all their lives the Word of God. Now think about this. How many of you call this the Word of God? All right, if this is the word of God, whose mouth did it come out of? So when he spoke it, what was it? It's his voice.
Right.
This is the voice of God. It was God breathed. So if you want to know how God talks, you got it in your lap.
Amen.
See, the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it'll penetrate because it's not natural. It's not like the Harlequin romance or the newspaper. No. It's got God's DNA. It's got God's very power. It's got God's nature. It's what God knows about himself. It reveals his will. See, when you wake up, it'll talk with you. When you go, it'll lead you. When you sleep, it'll keep you. Because there is no word of God, the angel told Mary, that's void of power to produce itself. She said, how am I going to have a supernatural miracle seeing I don't know a man? There is no natural way I can have this child. And the angel said, no word of God is void of power to produce its own self. So the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you, and the holy thing that's born in you will be born of God. The Word became. The Word's alive. So we need to understand that when you're laying in the bed, the Bible will tell you what to do. The Bible will show you what to do. The Bible will show you things to come. But you need to develop a living, breathing, walking, talking, questioning conference with your Bible when you read it. Ask the Bible questions. Let the Bible talk to you. Let the Bible interpret the Bible, because it is God's voice.
Amen.
So if you want to try the spirits, this is the first place you try them. Because out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. Amen? So let's let God talk to us tonight.
Amen.
How many of you would like to hear God's voice?
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Yeah. Not what, you know, not what CNN says, not what Dianne Feinstein says, not what the latest cabinet member thinks ought to be done about. No, how about we let God talk to us about what he thinks ought to be done and how he thinks we ought to live? How many believe God's smarter than you? He's smarter than me, I know that. Now go with me then, if we're going to let the Bible talk to us, now that we've established this is not just the Word of God, it's the voice of God, and God's talking to us, let's let God talk to us about the last days. Let's let God straighten out some things.
Amen.
Woo, glory. Go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 14, and I want to read verse 23. Look at what it says here. He that doubteth is damned if he eats, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Everybody say sin.
Sin.
Everybody say when believers,
don't believe.
They're sinning. Now, you can't get mad, Brother Tracy. That's God's voice right here. We just read it. Amen? All right, let's go to the book of Hebrews now. Now, let's look at the book of Hebrews, and we're going to pick up with chapter 3 this time. Notice what it says. It says, therefore, as the Holy Ghost says.
Amen.
Somebody say, as the Holy Ghost says.
Right. Holy Ghost says.
Now, here's what he's saying. Now, you do realize that... there are people that want to take the whole Old Testament and throw it away. We can prove this out if we need to prove it out, but I think you're astute enough to follow me in just this line of thinking. 2 Timothy chapter 3, don't turn there. Now, we're going to say it in Hebrews, but just follow me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture. How much?
All.
How much Scripture?
All.
All Scripture is given. By what? The inspiration of God. And the Greek says it means it's God-breathed. God's got his own essence in there. All Scripture. How much?
All.
All right, now you realize that we already looked at Timothy, which we'll go back to, but 2 Timothy is a New Testament book. You realize this. And you do realize that 2 Timothy 3 is a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, which was a letter, not yet Scripture. Ah. See, it's Scripture to you. But when Paul wrote to Timothy, it was a letter. So when Paul wrote to Timothy about all Scripture, there wasn't any other Scripture but the Old Testament. All the Scripture Paul's talking about is Old Testament. Now the Bible says through the epistles of Peter that that holy men of old spoke as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. And then it goes on to say no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So what we call promises started out as prophecies. Before it was written, it was first spoken. And it was spoken under the influence of the Holy Spirit moving on a man. Amen? So when we're reading in Hebrews chapter 3, and he says this, when he says in Hebrews chapter 3, he says, therefore, verse 7, as the Holy Ghost says. Everybody say, the Holy Ghost says. Say it again. Say it one more time. Well, now what does he say the Holy Ghost said? Today, everybody say today, harden not your voice. Anybody have a clue when the Holy Ghost said that? He said that in the Old Testament. When he was referring that there still is a day for them to enter into the rest, that the first generation didn't go in to the promised land, and later, through David in the Psalms, he says, today, harden not your voice. God is still speaking from heaven. God still has a plan for your life. All right, so now we're talking about thousands of years ago, he first said this to a generation that was hardening their heart and wouldn't go into the promised land. Hundreds of years later, he says it again and still calls it today, and he says it again in the Psalms through David. Hundreds of years after that, or millennia after that, Paul, if you believe Paul wrote Hebrews, I do, Paul says, the Holy Ghost says. Amen. Paul just called Scripture, the Holy Ghost says. Oh, come on now. Because he's quoting a Scripture. And so he's saying that when you read a Scripture, it's the Holy Ghost says. See, there's a lot of people that don't hear the voice of God very often, and the main reason they don't is they don't spend any time meditating this book. Because if you'll meditate this book, you'll know how he talks, because this is his voice. So the Bible is the Holy Ghost talking. So let's read what the Holy Ghost had to say. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. So he's telling us now that if we're going to harden our hearts to his word, we're hardening our hearts to his voice. So he tells us to do something and see, your reaction to maybe not believe the word and what the word says would be a hardening of yourself to the leading, the keeping, and the talking with you. God's leading you, he's keeping you, he's talking with you right there. And when you harden your voice to this, he can't lead you, he can't keep you, he can't talk with you. Now let's read on. So it goes on to say, when your fathers, verse 9, tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years, therefore I was grieved with this generation and said, they do always err. Underline that word err. Say error. Error. Say it out loud, error.
Error.
They err. Where? Where are they erring?
Heart.
In my heart, because they've not known my ways. Underline my ways. So he has ways that aren't our ways, and when we are in our own ways, we're in error. Would you agree? Well, let's go on and see what his ways are. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Where did they err? In their heart. So you watch out that none of you have an evil heart. Because what makes a heart evil? Unbelief. And what will unbelief do? Unbelief will cause you to err. Err from what? Err from God's ways. Because obviously God's way is walking by faith.
Amen.
Now let's drop on down to verse 19. Look what he says in verse 19. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. So we see clearly now then that unbelief is evil, that doubt is connected to damnation, that what is not of faith is sin. And Hebrews 12 tells us we're to look unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. Why? Because it's a faith race. And we're to lay aside the weights and the sins.
Right.
So what exactly are we laying aside? The sin of unbelief.
Right.
What exactly are we choosing to do? Not harden our heart to walk in by faith. Just because we don't understand it, or why? Because not walking by faith is erring. It's an error in your heart. See, when a person decides they're going to walk and live by faith, they can't be deceived because it's God's way of doing things. But the moment they start departing, and this is what Paul's telling Timothy, in the last days, there's going to be doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. And these doctrines of devils and these seducing spirits, the number one thing they're going to try to get you to do is start departing from the faith message, from walking and living by faith, from hearing faith. Now, this is the very thing he's talking to them in Galatians 3 when he says, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? I have something to learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And if you began in the Spirit, are you now going to be perfected by the flesh? So clearly now he's telling us in Galatians 3, we'll go back to it in a moment, but he's telling us in Galatians 3 clearly that walking by faith and living by faith is the truth, and walking by faith is walking in the Spirit. Ooh, are you getting anything here? Oh, this is big. So clearly when we depart and put overemphasis on things, you know, I mean, hey, I believe in all of the manifestations of the Spirit, and I thank God for them. Are you hearing me? I mean, I thank God for them. But they should be a manifestation that will release an anointing when they're done by faith, because they match the Word and they're from the Holy Ghost. Jesus said you cast the devil out with words. He didn't say you drive them out by waving banners around the church. I believe in banners. If you want to have a banner, go for it. Just don't conk me in the head while you're waving it. But you can shout and scream and wave a banner all you want, and all you're going to get is hoarse. Because he didn't say drive the devil out with banners. Huh? He said, why couldn't we cast the devil out? Jesus was very clear, because you didn't wave your banners. Is that what he said? No. And I'm not picking on banner wavers. Let me find something else to pick. You understand what I'm saying? I'm only saying that because I have such a great relationship with this couple, and I know y'all have skits and dramas. We did one at our minister's conference. People are throwing masks and waving swords and doing all kind of stuff and playing the music and showing lights, and there's fog machines, but they ain't going to drive a devil out.
Right.
Don't you dare get to the place to where you put any of that even a close second to walking by faith. Because walking by faith down deep in your heart, that's the key. Oh, that's the key. 1 John 5:4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You do realize prayer doesn't make faith work. Faith makes prayer work. Woo, glory to God. You do realize that we need to get to the place where we really put due emphasis on the things that God puts due emphasis on.
Amen.
And clearly he's saying to us here, if we're going to finish our race, we're going to lay aside everything that's weighing down our faith.
That's right.
Anything that's distracting me and making me go toward it that looks more important than living and walking and operating by faith is seducing you.
Amen.
It's besetting you. You're easy prey for the devil when you get out of the faith walk, because it's the shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart of the wicked one. Faith is the only thing you got that he has no answer for. Quenches every fiery dart of the wicked one. Now, doesn't it make sense to you that if these signs follow them that believe in my name, they'll cast out devils? Or if he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith in 1 Peter 5, and he will flee from you in James 4? Doesn't it make sense to you that if faith will cast the devil out himself, that faith will undo all his works? Oh, come on now. Doesn't that make sense to you? That if he has no answer for your faith, if you use faith to cast the devil out, then surely his works faith will undo. If it'll cast the devil out himself, then surely it'll get sickness off your body.
Amen.
Oh, folks, this is a faith race. Somebody say, I'm in a faith race. So we're not going to get distracted or seduced away from what the Bible says is the most important thing that gives us access to Zoe, which is life as God has it and experiences it. And the Bible says here is what gets you access to life. The just shall live by faith. Oh, glory be to God.
Amen.
That's how a just person lives.
Right.
They live by faith.
Right.
Praise God.
Wow.
That's how life came into you. It's how you got eternal life. By grace are you saved through faith.
Right.
Now, I understand, and I believe in grace as much as anybody. Thank God for the grace of God. I don't have enough words to describe what the grace of God has done. There's not one gift that we have that is merited or earned.
Right.
I am what I am by the grace of God.
Right.
In fact, the scripture tells us in John 3:16 very clearly, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. There are three things revealed there that every believer's got to walk in if they're ever going to have access to everything God has. Number one, we need to realize absolutely every gift of God is a gift of love. You couldn't get him to get it. You can't twist his arm. You can't legally earn it. He gave it to you because he loves you. And so every gift that's ever been given mankind was given because of love, given by grace, but received by faith. So we need to understand that grace can be there and be available all our lives. But if we don't use our faith to appropriate it, we'll never get over into it. You're not just going to go to heaven just because Jesus died. You've got to appropriate that by your faith. So you get the will of God done with your faith. Grace is always there. But it's like having your stuff down in the security deposit box at the bank. If you don't go turn the key, it may be your stuff, but you're not getting it. See, we need to understand it is impossible. I don't know anybody that teaches faith that doesn't believe in grace. In fact, that's where people have missed it. Somehow, they don't understand that faith is not something I do to get God to work. Because the works are finished. Faith is something that I do that's a response to what he's already done. I believe I'm healed because he says I was. He healed me by grace, and so therefore by faith I accept it's already done. And I just enter into the rest. It's a finished work. Romans 5 says you have access by faith into this grace wherein you stand. The Bible tells us that it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. This craziness that there's a grace camp and a faith camp is ignorance gone to seed. You can't separate grace and faith. Amen? But we also need to understand that God's not going to be party to anybody's destruction. So he's not going to grace you to do something that's not his will. Hello? So we need to understand then where we're coming from here. And we need to help. And this is why do people carry things, a pendulum way out here to excess? Because they depart from the faith. And it's impossible. Let me just tell you. The Holy Ghost, this is his voice. He said, what is not of faith is sin. He said, unbelief is an evil heart. He said, the just shall live by faith. He said in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. Right. Now that's either the Holy Ghost talking or it's not. Right. So if that's the Holy Ghost talking, then we're going to have to pay heed to what the Holy Ghost is saying to us. Amen? And come to an understanding that there's no possible way we're going to succeed by violating what the Holy Ghost is saying. I have to. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of faith. So there's two things I have to put away if I'm ever going to be deceived. And here I want to point them out to you. We were in Timothy. Let's go back to 1 Timothy 4 and look at what it says here. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Which means he is emphatically and clearly making this known. He wants us to know this. He wants us to know this. Yeah. Amen. Oh, come on now. You were doing good. Amen. He wants us to know this. Yes. That in the latter times, will that be now? Yeah. Right. Right here, right now? Yeah. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, now we're letting the Holy Ghost talk to us now, aren't we? Now we've just learned from the Bible that anything that causes us to depart from faith is a weight and a sin. And God's not the author of sin. He doesn't tempt any man. So God cannot be the author of any, I don't care how great the message is or how many people are following him on Twitter. I don't care how many TV preachers you are. It does not matter. Anything that's taking you away from the faith message is a seducing spirit. It's a seducing spirit. And he says here, he says, not only will they speak lies and hypocrisy, but they have their conscience seared with a hot iron. You need to understand that there are two things you have to put away in order to be deceived. Number one, you have to put the faith message away. Number two, You can't put the faith message away without violating your conscience. Because if you're listening to the Holy Ghost, he'll tell you, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't depart from the faith. Don't let your faith go. There's nothing more important. Don't do that. You have to violate what you know is right to believe something you want to believe instead of what God's Word says. So you can't be deceived unless you're willing to believe a lie. And the only reason people are willing to believe a lie is to justify a lifestyle they don't want to control or change or get in order. There's a reason people take this to excess. Because the Bible says that we're supposed to build up ourselves on our most holy faith. Faith is holy. There's actually no such thing as a biblical grace that is unholy. Maybe I better try that over here. See, if God's a holy God and he says, be ye holy as I am holy, he can't give a grace that'd make you unholy. Let's don't get confused about this. He can't tempt any man. Neither can he be tempted. Amen? So what we're trying to really say here is that there's something we got to put away from ourselves if we're going to be seduced. If these doctrines are going to carry us to excess and take us away from what the Bible's teaching, then we're going to have to put some things away. Amen? We're going to have to ignore what our inner man's telling us. We're going to have to ignore what the Word of God's telling us. We're going to have to ignore what the Holy Ghost is saying. And we're going to believe what we want to believe to come up with really our own doctrine and justify it in the Bible by cut and paste so that we can come in church and go from church and get ourselves to a place where we're seared. The Word of God can be taught, and I mean we just... Because you see, I can come up with it. I can come up with the doctrine now. I can twist this thing, pervert this thing, and I can come up with the doctrine that's going to let me sit in church and stay in my sin and still believe I'm going to heaven. Those are the worst kind of folks. They're self-deceived. And the Bible says in order to get to that place, there's two things you've got to put away. You've got to put away faith teaching, accurate faith teaching, and you've got to put away a good conscience. Because the Holy Ghost is going to be telling you all along, don't do that. Don't go that direction. And you have to blast right through that roadblock. You have to just blast right through that red light. And he won't even let you go there easy. He is so merciful. He'll work with you for years on it. But he'll keep pulling you. Come on back. Come on back. In fact, let me read this. Go with me to the first chapter here of the same epistle. And look at what it says here in verse 18. 1 Timothy 1:18. He says, this charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on you, that by them you might war a good warfare. Holding faith. Holding what?
Faith.
See, a lot of folks think, well, the Lord prophesied it. Well, if it comes to pass, it was the Lord. And if it doesn't, it never was. That's not Bible. There are a lot of things God wills for you that's not going to come to pass unless you put your faith on it. Just because God wills something to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen in earth. If that were the case, you know, he wills everybody to tithe, but why can't he make you pay yours?
Right.
So come on now. Yeah. See, the Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish. Isn't that right? The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish. So we know it's not his will that anybody perish. He said go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, all and every is all inclusive. The Bible says that Jesus had God personally present in him, not holding the world's sins against them, but personally reconciling them to God. So as far as God's concerned, your sin problem's already taken care of. Nothing else needs to be done about your sin. Thank God. That's what makes this good news. The prison door's open. Why don't you just come on out? Somebody paid the price that you couldn't pay. Come on out. Glory to God. This is good news, and thank God it's good news. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. We know that hell wasn't even made for man. Matthew 25:41 says it's made for the devil and his angels. But there are people going to hell. Going to split hell wide open. And it's not the will of God. So clearly, if God just wills something to happen, it doesn't always just happen on earth just because God wills it, or everybody be going to heaven. But clearly everybody's not going to heaven. Why? Because your faith has something to do with getting the will of God done on earth. Just because the grace is there, we've got to use our faith to appropriate that grace. That's why Jesus prayed this way, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." Pray this way, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If his will was always done on earth, why would you have to pray for it to be done? So clearly we have to use our faith to appropriate the will of God and get it done. So faith begins where the will of God is known. So just because God wills something for you, it doesn't mean it's just going to drop on you like walking under a tree and a cherry drops off on hit you on top of the head. Oh, I guess God wanted me to eat a cherry today. No, but that's the way people treat their walk with God. And the reason they do is they don't realize that faith is the way he does things. And the moment that they leave that idea, they're erring in their heart already. They're setting themselves up for deception. And Paul told Timothy, hey, there's some prophecies. There's some promises. There's some things I want for you. He said, now you take these prophecies. You take the promise of God. And with them, you war a good warfare. And here's how he says to do it. Holding faith. Everybody say holding faith.
Holding faith.
Say it again.
Holding faith.
So obviously faith is a part of the process of bringing the prophecy to pass. Would you agree? Look at what else he says. And what else? You mean these two are showing up side by side again? Yeah. Holding faith and what else? Everybody say a good conscience. Now notice what he says. Which some having put away. And notice the next two words. What are the next two words? So it's clear here they didn't put their faith away. Because they put something away concerning their faith. Concerning faith, they put this away. And when they did, their faith shipwrecked on them. And what did they put away? Read it. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away, meaning they put away their good conscience, concerning faith, have made a shipwreck. They put away their good conscience concerning faith. They put away their good conscience concerning faith, which means the moment they started departing from the faith message, their conscience was telling them, don't do this, don't do this. There's something not right about this. But they kept listening and kept thinking because they wanted to believe what they were hearing. Well, I've never felt freer in all my life. Well, see, that tells you right there. You're to walk by faith and not by sight. Tells you right there. They're going by their feelings. So of course. I mean, never felt freer in all my life. And what they won't admit to you is that they never got a hold of the fact that they're the righteous of God in Christ. And they were laboring under condemnation, and they never developed their walk with him to the place where they understood there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If they're under legalism, it's not God's fault, it's not the preacher's fault, it's because they sat in church and came and went and never picked up their Bible between Sundays and understood that they are the righteousness of God in Christ. So what I really want is a gospel that's going to let me live how I want during the week and not even know God or his ways and still get all the blessing. Well, friend, that ain't happening. Because there are spiritual laws called the law of obedience and blessings. And then there's the law of disobedience and curses. Because the curse is out there just waiting. God didn't send it. Man sinned did it. The scripture makes it clear, faith enters the blessing. So there's only one way that any human or any ministry can be deceived, especially in the last days. The two most important things have to be put away if a person's ever going to be deceived. They're going to have to put away their faith, and they're going to have to put away a good conscience concerning that faith. And the moment people put faith away, they start erring in their heart. Because now they've departed from the living God. They're going their own way and not his way. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. Am I helping anybody? All right. Say, faith is the truth. Galatians 3. Are you with me? And now let's pick back up here. Verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? So clearly walking by faith is walking in the Spirit. Amen? Now look at the next verse. He goes on to say, in verse 4, he says, have you suffered so many things in vain? Anybody know what the word vain means? What does it mean? Empty? No purpose. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? There are two things I want you to see. Now, this is an entire whole, this probably is a whole series of teaching, so you're just going to forgive me for making these two points and going on, because we're headed somewhere. But what you need to understand is, number one, is if you walk by faith, there are some things you will never suffer.
Amen. That's right.
Your faith will keep you out of that place. Have you suffered so many things in vain? Well, why do people suffer in vain? Because of the false, ungodly, unholy doctrine that's taught in church, that all suffering has a purpose. Clearly, he just said not all suffering has a purpose. Some suffering is in vain, has no purpose to it. Come on now. Isn't that what he just said? So he's just telling us, if you stay in the truth and walk in the Spirit and live by faith, there's some things you'll never suffer. See, it is a doctrine of the devil to say that absolutely everything you walk through in life has some special spiritual purpose. It does not. It's part of the law of sin and death. Every seed comes to a harvest. And the Bible tells us very clearly that there's some things we're going to face in life. Amen? Faith is given to us to walk in victory over those things. Faith, by its very nature, faith isn't putting us on this couch of, you know, this cushiony pillow where you got a sleep number and you're floating down the river and nothing ever bothers me. I'm a faith person. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that you move mountains with faith. That you cast out devils with faith. That you quench the violence of fire and you subdue kingdoms, and out of weakness you become strong and you turn enemy armies to flight, and with his stripes you are healed. Faith is what God has given you to walk in victory in a world that wants you to suffer.
Right. That's right.
Woo! Faith is your victory over all of that. And there's a lot of things people suffer because there's nothing out there, boom, stopping it from coming. Faith is what will quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. There's a lot of folks that are suffering because they don't know they're redeemed. They're walking around calling normal what God calls a curse. Amen? So glory be to God. If I were you, I'd start making a decision right now. I believe I'm going to start living by faith. Amen? Now look at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, how does he do it? By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now from this moment forward, I'm gonna step over into why we've gathered. The Lord told me when I was coming into this meeting, he said, I want you to minister to the people. I want you to teach the people about faith for miracles. Whew. This is absolutely a miracle meeting. I said, this is absolutely a miracle meeting. Woo, glory to God. But you can find no place in the Bible ever where a miracle occurred in human history that faith wasn't present. Can't do it. Faith and miracles are synonymous. Faith is the atmosphere where miracles manifest themselves. Nothing is impossible to them that believe. You don't find miracles manifesting for the doubting. You don't find miracles manifesting for the unbelieving. Why? Because faith and miracles are synonymous. We need to understand that if I want to see an African lion in the wild, I'm going to have to go to Africa.
Right.
See, one of the reasons people don't see any miracles is they never go to the land of faith.
Right.
Where miracles exist. Where they're native. Where they're born to live and operate and breathe and roar. Glory to God. Ooh, glory be to God. And so he's telling us, yeah, he's telling us here, and notice what he says. So we're going to read another 5 or 6 verses, and then we're going to just kind of camp out on something for a moment. But look at verse 5, and let's read it again. He says, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it, or how does he do it? Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as, underline those words. Everybody say, even as.
Even as.
Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same, are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "And you shall all nations be blessed." So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Those words, "even as," are huge. How many of you know that we're talking now about a man who was almost 100 years old and a woman who was 90 years old, and there is no natural way? His body's dead. Her body's dead. God's given them a dream. God's given them a promise. They've even made mistakes along the way. He lied about his wife, called her his sister. He went into a handmaiden and tried to make it happen in the natural. He got an Ishmael. God didn't talk to him for 13 years. He's in a journey. And there's something that God told him that the Bible says was even beyond all hope it could ever happen. But he came to the place to where he became fully persuaded that God was able to perform what he had promised. And so he considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And when he did that, he acted just like God when God taught him how to act. It says, "Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were." The word "before him whom he believed," the scripture could be read "like unto him." That means this. Let's read this. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. We'll start there, and I want to show you something. And I want you to open your Bible to it. Romans chapter 4, especially if you have a King James. It says in Romans 4:16, "Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed." Woo! "Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of nations." Now look at that word, "before him." Everybody underline that. Do you have a little footnote in your Bible? What does it say in the margin there? What does it say? "Like unto him," or "just like him." Some people will have a footnote that will say, "in his sight." Which means Abraham did this while God was watching, because God showed him how to act. "Before him whom he believed, even God." Like unto him, Abraham began to act just like God while God was watching him. If he wasn't supposed to do that, then God would have told him. But that's the thing God was waiting on. He was waiting on Abraham to begin to believe him on the level that he knew that no matter what it looked like or what he felt, God was right about him. That his body was screaming, "You can't have a baby," and God says, "You're the father of many nations." Who's right, Abraham or God? So finally, Abraham saw it like God saw it. Right in God's sight, he saw God and began to imitate him like a little kid imitates daddy. He began to say about himself what God was saying about him, instead of saying about himself what he thought, what he felt, what he saw, what it looked like. For 24 of 25 years, he was trying to figure out in himself, how could this be? I don't see how this could be. My body can't produce it. I don't know enough people. I've been to every fertility clinic. And one day it dawned on him, in all of these 25 years I've known God, I've changed and vacillated and thought a bunch of stuff, said a bunch of different stuff, but God has never changed what he said, not once. And it dawned on him, I guess I better change because he ain't going to. And the day it dawned on him, God is right, I am wrong. Guess what happened? Abraham became right. Because the day he said what God said, because God's right, Abraham was right. And God said, "Finally, you're right." He said, "I am the father of many nations." God said, "Ha! You got it! You're right!" So what did he do? He considered not his own body. So right while God was watching, right in the presence of Almighty God, it says, before him whom he believed, even God, who? Now that who refers to God. Who makes alive dead things by calling those things that be not as though they were. And Abraham began to act just like God and say about himself what God said about him, even though he didn't see it yet and he didn't feel it yet. He began to call those things that be not as though they were. And he got life in a dead body. How are you going to get life in your dead situation? Oh, come on now. Faith is not only spiritual, it's supernatural. Galatians 3:5 says, hey, he that ministers to you the Spirit. Look at your Bible now. Go back to Galatians 3:5. I've learned every once in a while when you get to an important place, you can run off and leave folks while you're teaching. They need to see this in their Bible. Look at what the Bible says. Look at what it says. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and does what else? Say it out loud. Who's working the miracle? God's working the miracle? Is that what it said? Who's working the miracle? He that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, how does he do it? By the works of the law? Or by what? So the person hearing faith is the one working the miracle, not God. Well, I'm starting to hear some, I'm getting some sacred cows. I'm gonna kick them over. Now I'm about to prove something to you if you stay with me. I'm talking about faith for miracles. Faith for the miraculous. How am I going to get the miraculous in my situation? How am I going to get miracles working in my money? How am I going to get miracles working in my body? How am I going to get miracles working in favor and on my job? How am I going to get the miracle power of God going to work in my dream and in my vision and in my ministry and in my church and in my leadership? How am I going to get this working? I'm sure not going to do it by a self-help seminar, because he said the works of the law won't produce it. All my best efforts of learning and implementing new strategy and hiring a new management team, and that's not going to solve the fact that we're $16 trillion in debt in America, right? So he says, hey, how did this guy do this? If he ministered to you the Spirit and worked miracles among you, how did he do it? Did he do it by the works of the law, or did he do it by the hearing of faith? And then he says this, even as. Say even as.
Even as.
Do you believe Isaac was a miracle? Do you believe it was a miracle for that 100-year-old man and that 90-year-old woman to have a child? Do you believe it was a supernatural birth? Do you believe it's like raising the dead? Then the Bible says your faith will do for you even as Abraham's faith did that for him.
Amen.
That the miracle you see worked in Abraham is the miracle power that will go to work in you and your body when you use your faith the way Abraham used his faith, because they that are blessed with faithful Abraham.
Amen.
So you have right now faith for miracles. It's not God that's going to work the miracle for you or even bring the miracle to you. He's already done that. He's already defeated the devil. By his stripes, you were healed. My God shall supply all your need by his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He's already made that available. That's what grace is. But access to manifest that grace out of that realm into your and my life, faith is the channel through which that manifests itself. Glory be to God. Say even as.
Amen.
Say even as Abraham. So that means every person in the sound of my voice tonight, we need to understand, he that ministers the Spirit to you, he that works miracles among you, how does he do it? By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith, even as Abraham? So what Abraham received acting just like God, then if you act just like Abraham, you're going to get what Abraham got, because you and Abraham are acting just like God. So we depart from God if we have an evil heart of unbelief. But if we accept God's word and begin to consider not our own body and not our own pain and not the interest rate and not how many accounts we lost and not the pink slip we got and not when our child came home saying, I'm running with the wrong crowd. We quit considering all that and start considering the fact that Jesus of Nazareth has defeated death, hell, and the grave. He has the keys. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I have 66 books of God's voice. And all I've got to do is act just like God and speak his word and call those things that be not as though they were. And the moment I start it is a step into the miracle flow. Woo! Glory be to God. What I want you to see is, it's not God that worked the miracle. It's the man that heard faith. No wonder the devil doesn't want you to hear faith. Woo, glory to God. Because when you hear faith, and you have a good conscience, and you know Jesus has redeemed you, and the blood has washed you, and you're the righteousness of God in Christ, and the greater one lives on the inside of you, and the name of Jesus has authority over every name that's named, you realize, dear God, whoa, I can't lose with what I use. There is no one devil in hell or all of them put together that has anything. No weapon formed against me can prosper. I'm not an accident looking for a place to happen. I'm a miracle looking for a place to manifest itself. You get a hold of this down inside, and here's what you'll say to people. You'll say, what do you mean miracles? Miracles, you don't ever see miracles. Follow me around. Come on, spend a day with me. But see, the body of Christ, doesn't know. They're sitting back on their haunches, resting on their blessed assurance, waiting on God to work miracles that they're supposed to work. Oh, y'all didn't get that. Woo, glory to God. You're a miracle. Glory be to God. Yeah, let me show you something here. Are you ready? You ready to just walk through the pages of the Bible for about 5 or 6 years? I'm just bam, 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 bam. Are you ready? Look at what it says here. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. We were already in Hebrews. Look at this. I love it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Glory be to God. You getting anything out of the word tonight? He says, how shall we escape, in verse 3, if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness. Bearing who? Everybody say them. Bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and all different kinds of miracles. Who had the miracles? Them. Everybody say them.
Them.
Say it three times. Them.
Them.
Say it again.
Them.
Say it one more time.
Them.
Go with me, please, to the book of Acts chapter 4. And I want you to look at verse 16. How many of you remember the story in Acts 3 when Peter and John went through the gate beautiful? And the man was begging, and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. Now, how many of you believe this is the voice of God?
Yeah.
How many of you believe this is God's word?
Yeah.
All right, then let's read this. Verse 16. And so they were saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done by them.
Yeah. Right.
By who? Say, Peter did a miracle. John did a miracle. All right, go with me to the book of Acts chapter 6. Look at verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith, full of what?
Faith.
Full of faith and power, did. Who did?
Stephen.
Stephen. Full of faith, Stephen did. Full of faith, Stephen did. Full of faith, Stephen did. Stephen did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now we got Peter doing miracles. Now we got John doing miracles. Now we got Stephen doing miracles. How about the book of Acts chapter 8? How many of you remember when Philip went down and preached and had a citywide revival? It says in verse 4, therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which... Everybody say, he did. Everybody say it again. Say it one more time. Look at verse 7. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. Say, he did these miracles. Ooh, glory be to God. So we got John doing miracles. We got Peter doing miracles. We got Stephen doing miracles. Now we got Philip doing miracles. Look at Acts chapter 15. I want you to look at verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Everybody say, by them. So now we got Peter doing miracles. Now we've got John doing miracles. Now we've got Stephen doing miracles. Now we've got Philip doing miracles. Now we got Paul doing miracles. And now we got Barnabas doing miracles. By them. He did. They did. By them. Go with me to Acts chapter 19, verse 11. And God worked special miracles by the hands of Paul. Notice now, God worked special miracles by the hands of Paul. Now certainly we know God is the source of all miraculous power. Certainly we are not in any way taking anything upon ourselves he didn't delegate to us. But you do remember that Jesus said to all of his disciples, behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and no thing shall by any means harm you. And you remember when he called them to himself, and then he commissioned them and said, I'm giving you power against unclean spirits to cast them out and over every manner of sickness and every manner of disease. So who had the power over sickness? They did. Who had the power to cast out devils? They did. Now notice what he's saying here. Here he says God worked special miracles. What I want to communicate to you is there's three kinds of miracles. Well, there's many kinds, but there's three I want to focus on tonight. And so to do that, let's look at one more verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. How many of you know that this is a list of the gifts of the Spirit? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he says concerning spiritual manifestations, he's picked up with this list. And he says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Say every man.
Amen.
Say it again.
Amen.
Say it one more time.
Amen.
So we got Peter working miracles. We got John working miracles. We got Stephen working miracles. We got Philip working miracles. We got Paul working miracles. We got Barnabas working miracles. And now we got the Spirit giving something to every man. So what does he say? It's given to every man. Well, to one's given by the Spirit word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing. Or that's plural, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. Everybody say the working of miracles. Say it again, the working of miracles. So who's working the miracle here? Sure, the Spirit's the initiator. Sure, the Spirit graces us. But who does he say it comes to? It's available to men. It's available to every man. So we got Peter working miracles. We got John working miracles. We got Stephen working miracles. We got Philip working miracles. We got Paul working miracles. We got Barnabas working miracles. Now we got every man. Well, God's dealt to every man the measure of faith. And he that ministers the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, how does he do it? By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Do you have faith? Do you have faith? Then guess what you have? So why are you doing without miracles? Come on now. I don't know about faith for miracles. Glory be to God. Let me read you one more verse. Same chapter. Drop down to verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that what? After that, say it. Say it out loud. Where did he set this? Everybody say, in the church. So now we got John working miracles. Now we got Peter working miracles. Now we got Stephen working miracles. Now we got Philip working miracles. Now we got Paul working miracles. Now we got Barnabas working miracles. Now we got every man able to work miracles. And now we got miracles set in the church. So where should miracles be happening? Somebody say, in the church. Somebody say, in my life. Say, in the ministers I associate with. Somebody say, miracles.
Miracles.
Say, I am a miracle. Looking for a place to manifest. I got a miracle in me. Woo, let me loose. Hallelujah. Say this out loud. I have faith for miracles. Miracles are happening around me all the time. The miracle river is coming toward me now. Woo, glory be to God. Miracles, miracles, miracles. Yeah, miracles, miracles, miracles. But let's look at this. Romans 15, 19. I want you to see this with your own eyes. Notice what it says here in Romans 15, 19. Glory be to God. And Apostle Paul was writing this to the Roman church. And look what it says here. Through mighty, through what? Mighty what? Signs and wonders. By the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem, round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Evidently, the gospel's not fully preached till there are signs and wonders and miracles. But a fully preached gospel will cause faith to arise. And there'll be miracles in the church. And there'll be miracles in every man. And there'll be miracles in every preacher. And there'll be miracles on every job. And there'll be miracles in every bank account. And there'll be miracles in every decision. Oh, I'm telling you, by the Holy Ghost, God wants you to walk in a miraculous flow. God has plans for you greater than you've ever asked or imagined. You have faith for miracles. Amen.